Welcome to the Scalable Marketing Machine podcast. I'm your host, Victoria Hadrar, marketing consultant for female founders and creator of the Scalable Marketing Machine Accelerator. I've helped dozens of women grow and scale their businesses from six to seven figures and beyond, helping founders like you to implement my proven growth system that focuses on brand communication, marketing strategy, building your lean team, and leadership. On this podcast, we talk all about what it takes to get to the next level in marketing and in life, focusing on practical, tactical advice that will help you grow your business and explode your revenue. Are you ready to learn? Let's dive in. Hello, you are in for a treat today because one of my all-time favorite podcast host and dear friend, Linda Andrews, is back on the show. Now, Linda is the founder and CEO of Leela Life, which is a platform that integrates business and wellness practices together. She's a coach. She's a mentor. She also is a podcast host as well. She has a fabulous podcast called The Leela Life Show, and she has a membership site called Leela Life Collective. Linda loves to empower entrepreneurs to unlock their full potential. That is exactly what we're talking about on the show today. We actually recorded this session as a training inside of the Scalable Marketing Machine Accelerator. So this is a private conversation for our cohort members, but because it was such a juicy topic and I just love Linda's insights, I thought it would be helpful to share it with all of you today on the podcast. So I hope you enjoy. Be sure to check out Linda and Leela Life after the show. Linda, hi. I'm so happy that you're here giving us this fabulous workshop today. So before we start kind of getting into the teachings and the learnings, share with us like a little bit about your journey and what is Leela Life and what you do and what really moves you and what you're most passionate about.
Awesome. Thanks, Victoria. And hello to everyone. It's great to be with you. As Victoria said, I'm Linda Andrews. I have a background in finance. I left my financial career in 2018 to pursue entrepreneurship. At the time, I had certain ideas about what that meant that I have different ideas about now. It's been that kind of up and down journey, 5 years in, almost six. And before that, I have a background as a college athlete. And along my financial journey, I studied over 55,000 hours and did of performance and well-being training and experience. And that led me to what Leela Life is today, where business meets well-being. I believe in supporting founders with business fundamentals and their well-being. And I believe that everything is connected. The work that I do, I call integrative advisory, and that's that intersection of business and well-being. So I can talk a little bit more about some of those stories, but I just noticed that there's often imbalance where someone's hyper-focused on money and business and their well-being is off the rails and vice versa. And I saw that, I lived that. And what I offer to early stage founders is that intersection. And I hope to share some of those skills and teachings with you all today, some of what I find to be most effective and likely things that you've heard before, likely quite simple, but it's like that integration, the actual doing it, that is sometimes the hardest. And what I also find is people are lacking confidence for a number of different reasons, usually from past experiences. And so it's building that trust muscle with yourself, building up the confidence with yourself. And usually that comes from action, and one action at a time, one day at a time, 1 minute at a time.
Can you talk a little bit before we get into that, a little bit of your own transformation? Because obviously there was a, no, but I know that there was quite a big shift for you, sort of like what you were up against when you were in corporate America. But I would love to hear your perspective a little bit about sort of the pressures and the stress that went along with that, but also the pressures and stress that has gone along with entrepreneurship, because I think that there's some similarities and there's some differences, because I know you're going to give us a lot of great tools and strategies to work through, just, you know, clearing our mental space and sort of getting into a better relationship with ourselves in general. But, you know, what has marked sort of maybe the similarities or differences between those two situations you found yourself in?
It's a great question. For me, when I entered my financial career, there was a lot I didn't know. There was a big learning curve, and I knew pretty quickly it wasn't going to be for me forever. And yeah. 7 years later, I left. I mapped out a pretty rough transition plan, And I think I made every mistake in the book. And then go through this early stage of entrepreneurship. What I learned on the entrepreneurship side is that a lot of the things I was avoiding about myself in my financial career, I was still avoiding about myself in my entrepreneurship journey. And so there was an opportunity, if I would have took it, to have faced those challenges while I was still in that career,
yeah,
and done some of that heavy lifting, and I didn't do that. Yeah. And then it still came up for me in entrepreneurship. And that's been a very humbling experience. And understanding what I just shared and being able to work through whatever those roadblocks were and have just better perspective. But I left escaping some certain things only to be faced with those same certain things, but now heightened with the pressure of making money and getting things going, which brought its own level of stress. You know, it made the financial career look quite easy and basic in retrospect.
Yeah,
so I think people, especially if they're on the front end of a career, they really have the gift of time, pending no out of the blue layoffs, which is possible, but likely they have the time to really map out a strategic transition that could take months or years. And that's what I would really recommend if someone finds themselves with the luxury to do that. And there's so much to do at the early stage to market test, get some traction, that you do not need to leave. You'll know when you need to leave.
Yeah.
For me, it was more of like survival. I need to leave. There was a lot of different things going on at the time. But I'm happy to go into anything that you want me to explain deeper. But yeah. I think that high level, you can understand it was stressful then. It was still stressful after the fact. And so it was just getting down to the basics. And there's something I want to add here that for anyone, especially if you're relating to being an aging millennial like myself, where yeah. there's these just very basic life skills that for whatever reason didn't really come with the program. I don't know why, but it didn't. Yeah. And it's embarrassing and it's humbling. And it's everything from bills to a home maintenance schedule to taking care of the dogs to doing laundry, like literally life skills, food prep. All the basics that if you had not taken the time to just start doing those in early adulthood at 22, like there could be a compounding factor that unless you face that and do that heavy lifting head on, like that's a whole other element of the avoidance. And that just leads to more stress mm-hmm. and more stress, and it can be debilitating. Mm-hmm. So I see that being a challenge sometimes where literally if you were to take a couple days or a week and just get your life in order and set some life systems up and in place, yeah. whether or not you're doing them or outsourcing, but you just take the time to do that, that could then make some room for the rocket ship of your business to go. And absolutely. If that doesn't happen, you're like just rubbing up against that friction and there will be a breaking point.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really good segue because I think like, you know, I often have these conversations like with my husband, right? We were talking about this the other day, about this idea of your mindset, right? Mm-hmm. Your mindset about the work that you do. And just last night, it was on Sunday night. And he's always like had this, you know, the Sunday scaries. Actually, this is like a thing. I'm such a generally optimistic person. I never thought of this even concept before I met my husband, where like, even since he was in school,
wow,
he was dreading Mondays. And I was like, where the hell does one learn that, right? That it comes very, right? So I was like, okay, your pressures, your demands were quite different when you were a student, to when you were a college student, to when you're a parent, to when were in the working world, right? But the fact that that feeling around work has remained the same is evidence that it is not your environment. It is your mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's often very difficult to see the forest from the trees when you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
But like if you have, you know, clients or customers that are complaining or product is not working or tech is not working, or you're not sure what the right step is, a lot about how you experience that is what your mindset is around it. Mm-hmm. So I know that you've had sort of a breakthrough in the past couple months, it sounds like, but I feel like, you know, for me personally, it's been like a really hard season of struggle and growth and just twisting to get to the next, to the next, to the next, and facing some really big challenges. And it's been like, I'm not going to lie, like very, very discouraging, which almost makes me feel like I'm on the right track, because I feel like a lot of the communication, and this could be a mindset too, which is like, if you feel like you're failing every day and you think like one day, like I'm in the mentality of one day, it's like everything is under control. Everything's great. Like I really got a handle on this. The next day being like, everything's falling apart. Nothing's working. Like this is terrible. In building my business. And I think that there's a learned piece of that where I think us as entrepreneurs, we get fed that a lot, that it's so hard. No one knows what they're doing. Everyone's struggling. But it also doesn't, but that also is that there's probably truth to that, but maybe not 100%. So anyway, I would love to talk, let's kind of get into, your teachings today about, you know, maybe how we can make some shifts and how we can strike that balance and pay attention to our own well-being, because that really creates our experience of life, right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I want to follow up, and this will be a good segue to two aspects of that. One is, what is business? What is the journey of entrepreneurship? Yeah. And likely, you know, you have sales, and what you are selling solves a problem for someone,
right?
Or an entity. And I think that that's the most basic fundamental to business, is that you're solving a problem. And that has to be acknowledged every single day, the problem that you're solving, and the hyper focus and commitment to the problem that you're solving. And then every day you get to solve problems related to the problem you're solving. Mm-hmm. And you get to do that until you're not doing that anymore in your business.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a frame that gets so overlooked and gets so just missed, that it becomes the obsession with the solution, mm-hmm. with all the more ideas. So now we're disconnected from the problem because it's just solutions. When that untethers,
right?
Who are we even serving? It's like, it can be about me and my great ideas and my awesome solutions. So just as a frame shift of what we're doing here, I'm solving a problem for someone else. The more me that's in this is the more problems that are unnecessary and the more friction that is occurring. So that's been a helpful, huge frame shift. And I think as you progress, it's easy to continue to have wins, but then lose sight of that and then be a lot farther away from just the most basics of business that you should can be. So I want to start with that.
Yeah.
This to segue here to the well-being side. One of the easiest things that I'd like to ask people is like, what has worked for you with your well-being in the past? And does that still work now? Mm. If yes, are you doing it? If no, why not? And what shifts needs to happen? So one of my funnier stories about being in my finance career is I started to meditate, and I could meditate for 1 minute and I was crawling out of my skin. Literally, I set a timer and I thought I was going to have a heart attack, I think, because I was just crawling out of my skin with anxiety. And now years later, I meditate 20 minutes every morning, non-negotiable. And that's just an example of progress. I mean, it's been 7 years of doing a daily 20-minute meditation. If I've missed 3 times in 7 years, I don't even know if I've done that. So in terms of possibility and just committing to those habits, doing it daily. If it's not daily, what's the frequency that it needs to be? And then as you're, I think of it as a spiral, like spiral dynamics. We're spiraling up. Like, it's all going to shift and evolve because there's new problems. There's different things that you're focused.
Oh no. We lost you. Oh, got you.
Okay.
You popped out for a second. Okay, there we go. We're okay.
Yeah. You're spiraling up, but the fundamentals are the same, meaning that you need to have the time to do the habitual things. Often this is very boring. A lot of times what gets in the way is the many distractions, the infinity of distractions in the attention economy, where everyone's vying for your attention. And so just knowing the landscape that we're working in and that commitment to the problem that you're solving and connected to that being the why, that needs to be so charged so that whatever else is going on, you can come into the little work portal, hyper-focus on the why and the problem you're solving, and do whatever that work is for the day. And yeah. That's where part of my obsession with the business fundamentals comes from. And what I like to say business architecture is it will evolve and it will get more complex and there will be more people that you're working with and there will be more money and more customers, but you're starting with where you are and you're going to that next step and you're assessing where you were and where you are now. It's just so painfully basic, you know?
And yet it's something that I think everyone struggles with. Like, just this morning, I had like another founder that I was messaging with, and we're just BSing. But she made this statement where she was like, "I just have to like do the things I know I need to do." Mm-hmm. And why it becomes so challenging day to day? Mm-hmm. We know why it is, right? It's because all of these things come into our line of vision, and unless we have that discipline of just staying in that long view of where we're going and the tasks that are going to move it forward. But of course, like, business still moves. Like, clients still need to be like their questions answered. The tech will break, like, and there will be fires all the time. And so mm-hmm. I think that's definitely what takes us away. Mm-hmm. But I think what you're getting at is sort of like, well, what are the practices that you can implement that's mm-hmm. going to recenter you mm-hmm. because it doesn't tend to be work harder, stay up later, try to get more to-do list, which let me tell you, like, I get into that loop every couple weeks. And it happened just last week where I was like, don't worry, I can do like 3 nights till 1 a.m. and I'll just figure it. But this work never ends. So that's the thing. Like, it's never done. I remember my husband being like, if you could work from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and like, how much could you get done? I'm like, not all of it, because there's always more to do. Right. And it's, and I think that it's putting up that, what is it? Those barriers are sort of those boundaries almost mm-hmm. around your own time and what you're going to focus on, because you can't spend your whole time putting out fires or your whole time worrying about, you know, not focusing on the big picture and sort of working on the business, right? And that's where a lot of people get stuck.
Mm-hmm. And that ratio of working on the business and in the business, there has to be some percentage that you're working in the business and yeah. some that you're working on the business. You could self-rate yourself right now and check in. How much are you working on the business? How much are you working in the business? And noticing from your own imbalances, what needs a little bit more time and attention? And then how are you going to carve out the space? I work with founders that are so in the weeds, tactical. They're not working on the business at all. They're working in the business 100%. And you don't come up for breathing room and you don't know where you are in relation to where you want to be. And years can go by. Years can go by like that.
Think about how fast the quarter ends.
So fast, right? We're in the middle of March. Like, we're coming into Q2. It goes so fast. And being realistic, and this is something that you've helped me with, I may not be as disciplined with it being just one thing. I know this past quarter, I was consistent with my podcasts and my emails. So rudimentary, right? But when you're not doing that consistently, you just need to put in one thing to be consistent with. And then, oh, you have all this data now to assess. And I would say part of why this can be so hard is that time feels different. Like, time, 90 days feels like 5 years.
Yeah.
or an hour, right? And so understanding that a year is going to go by so fast, what realistically can you get done? What are some of these goals? I think it's important to be able to push the pace, like, start to go faster. But when I'm saying push the pace, that means something different to every single person here based on your current pace. So if your current pace is 1 and you're going to 100, let's just get from 1 to 2. And if you're at 100, go to 100 to 105. But that you have to know your own psychology, know how your own psychology works, and be realistic about what you can actually do. And you had said something about it just like there's always going to be fires to put out. Like that's a mindset, right?
Yeah.
There's always going to be right fires to put out. There could be one of the mantras that I enact in my business is that nothing's an emergency. And if it is, it's my fault.
Yeah.
Right. That's a powerful frame. And so my team, like, cause when I'm onboarding team members, you know, you can get their apologies or like, I'm sorry, was that right? And it's like, what? Please don't apologize. Like we'll learn, we'll get through the feedback loop, but I'm the one that needs to apologize because there's something I likely wasn't clear about or saying exactly how I wanted it done. And those skills, this is all a process of refining, getting better, being more clear. And you're just starting with where you are. Another thing that I see, and I did this in a big way.
Yeah.
I left Morgan Stanley in 2018. There's a certain experience of that brand that is a different experience than most startups. And so I had expectations. I had a very specific brand experience that I wanted my brand to feel like from day zero. And it just wasn't, it's apples to oranges, right?
Yeah. Apples, and so I was passion fruit. Yeah.
Right. I was making spends as though I was the former when I was the latter, and being able to reel that back in and say, whoa, I'm at day zero right now. What do I need to shift from right here? That of course I want to elevate the standards and the expectations over time, but that's not realistic to be making spends that way with what my budget is right now. So a lot of it's the trial and error, but are you learning the lessons as you go through the trials? And just to segue from the fires comment, like putting out the fires, it's always, in my opinion, an invitation to develop a cadence, to develop a system that can mitigate that in the future. Mm-hmm. And from my finance nerdy hat, we're in business doing a lot of de-risking, whether you realize it or not, right?
Yeah.
And the way you can anticipate what's going to come, that's a huge skill that not many people seem to have these days. What's coming down the line here, including like, how does my personal life and my personal well-being fit into this?
Mm.
For women menstruating, for example, like, hey, there's a time of month that I feel like shit and I want to do nothing and I need to be with my dogs or family and do cuddles.
Put
that time in the calendar, right? And then let's hit it 1,000%. You know, the rest of the month when you're feeling that energy to be able to do that. And so that could look different person to person, but being able to really understand what you need, what's worked, and not only what's worked, but what works now. I mentioned I was an athlete, right? We were training up to 30 hours a week in athletics at the peak of my training seasons. You know, going from that kind of lifestyle to hitting the gym class every once in a while was a very tough transition.
Yeah.
If I right now was holding myself to a standard of like getting back to 30 hours a week, that would be wild. And I would never meet that, right?
Yeah.
And so we take these ideas of the past that worked in certain seasons of our life that have no place right now in our life. But we're in this like mindset loop of, oh, I'm not working out enough. I'm using a personal example where you can apply this to your business. It's a new season. New day. Like we gotta get things working from where you are now.
Yeah.
And so comparing.
I think that also can be a way that we compare against others. Like, yes, we can compare against ourselves in different seasons or compare against others. And I think that's where it becomes really dangerous, especially when we're all working a little bit in a secluded environment. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever go through this, but I sometimes look that and I feel like, wow, I'm working like a large volume, right? I'm working a lot, or there's a lot of pressure, or there's too much to do or whatever. And then sometimes I'm like, or maybe not at all. Like maybe compared to other people, I'm like easy breath. Like it's very hard to gauge. And so you can just get whispers of like what other people are doing on social media or other people's standards. And it's all BS in the end. Because one thing I had said this to one friend, and she was like, and she brought it back and she was like, literally, it doesn't matter how many hours you work on something. It's like, is it done what needs to get done, right? Did you get the results that needed that you needed to get? Because I think we have this idea of like turning the wheel harder. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes this very simple practice of stepping back to look at the bigger picture, remembering what your focus is. Mm-hmm. That doesn't take more physical effort or late nights. Usually that recalibration does just the opposite. And usually those are the things that are much more important than toiling away at things that perhaps are not going to move the needle, but make you feel like you're making progress, you know?
Yeah. And again, coming back to that purpose and your why, there's a concept, the massive transformative purpose. It's like the biggest reason why you can think of. So for myself, I realized that if 1 in 8 people could create $1 million ARR businesses, that would be a quadrillion of capital. So a billion founders creating $1 million in business a year multiplied out. And I was like, whoa, that's a lot of capital. And what happens to the world when that much capital is created? And I'm like, everything would be different. And like, I really like big problems. And for me, because of the distraction and the world stuff, it's like, it's got to be able to outweigh anything else. And I finally found what could outweigh anything else. Okay. Have the purpose. And then when you take 2 minutes in the morning to laser in on, hey, I'm connected with that purpose. Now what needs to be done? It's like it's supercharged and that focus is there. And we're literally, it's 2 minutes. You're reading a sentence you wrote down about your why, the problem you're solving, and like plugging in. And to me, that's part of that performance aspect of business. It's because you are switching gears. There are other things in your life going on. But when you come into the business and know I have to do this or this, like you have to plug in and hit the ground running, just like I would dive off the block and start a swim practice, right? It's that high performance moment to engage. And so I think that that focus not being there from the get-go can be hugely detrimental. And what you were talking about, something like working more, at being harder. I try to touch things once and I try to do it in as little time as possible. Yeah. And like if something takes longer than a work block, I'm a little annoyed because I know that I misestimated that time and it happens, but it's like, it's just about getting the reps in, right? And when I talked about the cadence, like we're making decisions every day, making decisions. The faster you make decisions, the more you're able to push through. You're going to make wrong decisions. And so you're going to have to learn from the decisions, right? So you start by making decisions slow, then you're able to pick up the pace. You're still going to make decisions wrong. The more decisions you make, the more you're going to learn from them. And so it behooves you to get that pace going and to make mistakes so then you can learn from them and not make those same mistakes and put those systems in place. So that pace piece, that's a huge missing key that years went by for me and I have made a lot of mistakes. I hit 6 figures in my third full year of business. I had issues with profitability, even though I was making the revenue and had to wind that entity down, right? So some of these hardships, some of these mistakes, they're going to be your greatest teachers. And then you clear everything out each day. You're focused on what needs to get done that day, connected to the purpose. And then that's where that momentum can come. But you do have to clear some of this chaos out and it comes from action and misaction. Yeah. Right.
I want to double click on what you just said, because I feel like this is, for me, this is a practice that I'm currently really working on. And I feel like when we say like putting in the reps, like, you know, like I'm an athlete as well. I'm like CrossFit, just finished the Open and really like did really great. Got into the quarterfinals, which I'm really excited about. And to me, like it's my medicine, it's my mental break, because it's like, I know exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. So I've been toying with this idea, and I want to dig into what you just said about putting in the reps. And I've been trying to map, like, what are the daily habits in business that you can predictably sort of set as your workout. During, like, for example, when I, you know, at CrossFit, it's like, we go, we warm up, we review what the workout is, and you just put your head down and do it, right? Now I find like, yes, you use a planner, maybe you know what tasks you need to do, but I think that there has to be more. And actually, you just saying, reading those sentences before you get started, I remember this is something that we talked about maybe like years ago. Can you talk about that? Like, are you setting intentions every day? I know that you've always like set me your planners that you're working on with things. And I know you've tested a lot out. Yep. So do you have like a operating system for yourself
yes.
that seems mm-hmm. to be working well?
Yeah. So what I call MV squared, mission, okay. vision, values, purpose. We touched on purpose, right? The why. It's like yeah. the gas to the car. The values, I look at the guardrail. That's for the integrity. But where am I in and out of alignment to those values? The vision, where am I going? And that yeah. mission, how I'm getting there. So yes. likely the mission is like the product, right? Where okay. you're going, that's that big picture vision. I think make it 20 years out, make it big, make it exciting. Your why, we talked about that. Mm-hmm. And then the values. So I start with that for each of my morning sessions. I look
okay.
at those.
Okay. So are those like, is that like something that you've written down that you just like reread it every morning?
Yeah, in the front page of my planner.
Wow.
And the planner I use and I love, and I have tested quite a few, but the one I've landed on is Best Self Co. I'm very okay. hyped on it. They have their undated planners and I do my year in sync with the harmony of the seasons. So mm-hmm. we're right now at the spring equinox and we're going through a 90-day cycle. And then we'll be at the summer solstice. And that's just a really easy way to find those natural rhythms. What I've liked about that is, right, picture summer on 6/21. It's like the height. It's the longest day of the year. You know, you're going to have the most energy. 12/21, you're in the middle of the holidays. It's the darkest day of the year. This is if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, right? It's kind of that wind down hibernation energy. That's been really fun to play with the business because it invites a natural harmony.
Oh, that's so interesting. And, yes. I love how it kind of, again, and I think like one huge mistake that I do a lot in my business is scheduling things, not paying attention to like the macro of my schedule. Because I even thinking like, and this is one of the first years that I've been thinking like, how do I want to feel in the summer? Because I really covet my summertime. Like mm-hmm. I love our, what we do each summer and I love to be really present with the family. Mm-hmm. But, this is the first year that I've been thinking like, what do I need to do now? So like mm-hmm. on July, whatever, I could be without tons of stress and a lot of anxiety over work or fires being put out. Mm-hmm. So I can really be present. And that has been guiding a lot of my thoughts. I haven't really bridged the gap between like how I'm putting that into action. But this is the first year that I've thought that. I think it harkens a lot to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Right.
And with that, there's a natural rhythm to your year. You mentioned the family time. Like, you know, in your full year, what's going to come up likely. And right. so when you're putting stuff in that's creating friction, that's on you. Like, you're creating yeah. that friction. It's unnecessary. And when I talk about anticipating, it's like, let me look at this commitment over a year. Can I do this at this commitment level over a year? Yes or no? Okay, where could I pull that back? It's being realistic about those different things. So you're not putting yourself in a place of overwhelm. It's got to work for you. Having some good foundational backbones to your boundaries, to your well-being can help that, to your family life. It's being in those communications with the key stakeholders. And I do I have that quarterly rhythm going, and then I'm mapping out my whole quarter. I'm saying, this is what I'd like those boundaries to look like this quarter. This is what seems to be looking. So literally for me right now, and I'm just going to own this because I sometimes feel like weird judgment, and it's just, this is my life right now. Okay. So from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m., I have like a pretty like long morning of personal things that I do. Okay.
Yeah.
From 10 to 12, I do deep work. From 12 to 1, I have lunch and dog time. And then from 1 to either 6, 7 or 8, depending on what commitments I have, is meetings, is other types of work. Yeah. In that second set of time from the 1 to 8 or the 1 to 6, there is a few things that have to be done.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah.
Emails.
Yeah.
Content.
Yeah.
Those are like the big three.
Yeah.
And that's during that time. And that first morning section of the 10 to noon, that's my clearest, best thinking for deep work. The things that I really need to dig into, what I need to map up, where I can be tech unplugged. And I don't like being deep in my tech until afternoon, truly, because it can just set everything off on chaos. And so to make a 90-day commitment and say, this is the schedule I'm adhering to in most cases, it's not going to be every day, but in most cases. And then as I'm doing a review on a monthly basis, what do I need to shift? On a weekly basis, what do I need to shift? There is that flexibility in that breathing room. Maybe there's a new client. Maybe there's something that comes up you weren't expecting. Always there's flexibility. It's business, right? It's we're reacting, we're ebbing, we're flowing. But that's helped me tremendously. I was laughing when you were talking about your son, your husband with Mondays, because yeah, I got married on a Monday. That's how much I love Mondays.
Okay? Oh, I love that. See?
We got married 8 a.m. on a Monday and had a brunch, a morning brunch reception. But like I love Mondays. And part of the reason I love Mondays is I don't let Monday be what you're talking about. Like I'm doing that planning, that setting my week up on Sunday. I can just flow into my Monday. I like to kind of titrate into my week. So Monday, Tuesday feel lighter. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday are like the heavy on days.
Yeah.
And that's a system that I found for myself. And the only way that I could figure that out is from years of it not working, not paying attention, starting to pay attention, and then doing that regular feedback loop of what of this is working, what isn't, and what am I willing to change? And one thing I want to touch on too is like, this is another acronym. So I touched on that MVVP. Okay. Yes. So you're starting your work sessions with that. I highly recommend it. Try it for a week. See what shifts. It's going to increase your focus.
Yeah.
Part two to this, time, energy, attention, and money. Mm. This is my team acronym.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
We love that.
Yeah. You may be a solopreneur, you may have a team, but you always have your team. And your team is how I'm defining time, energy, attention, and money. Mm. So having a regular review of this, how am I using my time? How am I using my energy? Where is my attention? Where is my money? And being in integrity to that, if you know where your vision is and you're clear on that and you have some goals, now you've narrowed it in, tightened it up to just your 90-day focus. You know what the KPIs are. Now this has to be an ongoing practice. How am I using my time, energy, attention, and money? And there's going to be things that you're doing and ways that you're using that are not in alignment to big picture vision and 90-day goals. And so it's like the cleanup crew, and that has to be happening very regularly or 90 days goes by. Why haven't I met my goals? But what's really nice when that happens too, is it's just information, right? And talk about a mindset shift. This is all information. Yes. So why am I just keep doing the same thing over and over and over? And that's where that connection to the person you're becoming, the business that's unfolding, where you're headed, who you're becoming, and like the upgrades that you're naturally going to go through on this business journey to keep stepping into those, or you know, talk about self-sabotage, talk about distraction, it's going to happen. And the comparison piece is very juicy medicine. Comparison, jealousy, I find this to be some of the juiciest medicine because it gives you some insights of what you desire, what you're craving, and often what you're neglecting, what you're not doing. And that neglect, like that's a powerful, neglect is powerful. You know, wherever self-neglect has come from, to each their own. I'm sure there's many reasons where and why that could happen, but noticing where am I neglecting myself? Where am I neglecting my business? Where am I neglecting the fundamentals on a daily, weekly basis? It's a lot of information. And the tool of comparison, the tool of jealousy, it's like these become different distractions that just give us this, you know, a coach that I know, she calls it the itty bitty shitty committee. Like, it just gives you that power. And it's like, I'm doing so bad. It's like you said, you may be doing great. You're definitely doing great compared to where you were. And you're going to look back and know you could have done better and you're going to do better. And you're going to look back and be like, oh, look at where I was. It's just the nature of progress. Yeah. Just being like having some frame around what you're actually in. Like you've come a really long way and now you have some new challenges and you're going to figure those out. And that's going to be the evolution, the next level of your business and your well-being.
I love that. And I think it's really a powerful reminder of how often we need to check in with not just the language we use, but like whatever is the story that's going on in our head. And I think that it's so insidious sometimes. And I'll go back to this idea of like the Monday scaries, because I think what's interesting is, okay, you love Mondays. I've always loved Mondays, but from hearing my husband talk about it, especially recently, because like the second that I've come up against maybe more pressure or bigger challenges, I've found myself adopting this mindset, right? But even more powerful, I see, and this is all very recently, so I'm like, can catch it, but I've seen my kids recently picking up on that. And I'm saying, okay, I got to put the kibosh on this mindset, because we would end the weekends being like, oh, this quote of like, oh, we didn't have enough weekend. We've said it once or twice, maybe more than I thought. But when I started hearing the kids say it, I'm like, oh, that's a big signal, right? Uh-huh. It's a big signal. But I think the more powerful like truth is that it's whatever you make it. A Monday could be scary, or a Monday could be a fresh start, new beginning. Like, I love the beginning of a month, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I used to treat the beginning of the week as the same thing, just possibilities, right? Mm-hmm. But I think the thing that I want to point out here is that like, just because you had one attitude once doesn't mean that it's there to stick. Like, you have to continuously check in with what your story is, and don't just assume that if you had a good attitude about something once in your life, that can't change. So especially as you're pinned up with challenges, because when you're working against challenges, your default operating system could be to find these other stories that maybe are not even yours, that you take from other people. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. And you know, it's the nature of the journey on a growth journey is that every next level and layer is going to present unknown. Mm. Right? And so our subconscious mind is here to keep us safe. Some of these built-in mechanics is literally to keep you alive. So we're on a growth trajectory, right? You're going up that horizon, you're working up the ladder of growth, and the next new thing is around the corner, and then fear creeps in and it's like, I'm going to keep you safe. We're not going anywhere. We are staying right here, and you don't get to evolve into whatever that next level of leadership is needed for you to go to the next level. And that's why this stepping back and saying, I'm committed to this vision, I'm committed to this purpose. I know this journey is about solving problems. I'm hyper-focused on solving this massive big problem. And I'm going to have a lot of unknowns that are going to be bringing problems, that are going to bring up fear. It's like literally that basic, oh, this is normal. This is unknown. Of course, I don't know how to do this. I didn't know how to do anything that I've done that I didn't know how to do. And that's the deal. And so you're going to always see, and I'm pretty intense about what I'll consume on the social media side. Mm-hmm. If it's not a podcast, I go on Twitter a couple of times a day, like brief, quick. I'm really curated on who I'm following. Aside from that, I am not on social media at all. I do not even log into my Instagram. I may check LinkedIn once a month. I check my emails daily. Yeah. Right? I'm just very disciplined around what I let into my sphere. And that's the type of creator I am. I think we all could use a little bit of this, because you can get distracted. Oh, and now, and I would see this in the early years of online business. You know, I started this in 2018. So that was somewhat early from the COVID comparison years of like 2020. Mm-hmm. But, you know, jumping platforms, this is the latest tech, this is the latest thing, right? And it's like, you know, I stayed on Teachable the whole time. And yeah, there's things I wish were better. And I always had a mindset around that I was like, one day I'd love to build this. And until we build it, let's not do a bunch of expensive changes that's not where the capital needs to go. And especially at the early stage, and depending on where you're at, especially with your own financial patterns and habits, it's easy to want to throw money to fix problems, right? Versus to really understand, what is the problem? Can I understand the problem and all the nuances enough to solve that problem, to then train someone to do that problem solving the next go around, right? And put that system in place. But instead it's like, freak out, right? This is the mind, like freak out, unknown, pay someone to solve the problem. There's merit in elements of that, but if you don't fully understand the problem, you just created a way more intense, harder learning curve. You could push yourself back weeks or months because you're not taking the time to really understand the problem to then be making the educated decisions. And that takes time, right? And we were talking a little before we started, like there's elements of the business that feel so frenetic, that feel so kind of life or death, and you gotta just like push completely uphill to figure it out. And those are, when I said time, energy, attention, and money, like that's how you're using your energy. I know me, when I can get myself into a clear state, when I'm focused on mission, vision, values, purpose, I know the task that I have to do this day. I said the thing, like there's no emergencies. If it's an emergency, it's because I didn't do the right thing and didn't set the system up. That's like, you have to be able to get to a point to say, I'm choosing to use my energy in this way, including that frenetic, chaotic energy. Yeah. And I have this funny pun, harmony. Yeah. Harmony, the harmony, the money part spelled as M-O-N-E-Y. And I'm just really curious about, like, when I'm in an energetic of harmony, making more money, right? Yeah. Harmony, like this all feels and looks a lot different. But that's contrary to what we've been fed about what this all needs to look and feel like. And I have thoughts about this, about the phase of business that we're moving into and what business can look and feel like. Like, what if the leadership we've seen in business is not the leadership we need to now see in business? Like, this could all be changing, and us being committed to honoring our well-being and doing a great job with business growth and business fundamentals, I think is a part of what that looks like. And it's also what inspires me each day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like, this can look different. And, you know, yeah. I remember when I first started entrepreneurship, someone was like, oh, it sounds like you want to run a lifestyle business. And it's this story of like, I have to either like sell my whole life off to be in startup mm-hmm. mode, or I'm a lifestyle business. And I don't think that that's a helpful frame. It's like, no, I'm committed to my well-being no matter what I'm doing. If I'm working as an employee, if I'm the CEO of my company, that is a non-negotiable. I'm 36 years old. I've learned enough about life to know that the only way that this all works is if that works.
Yeah.
Yes, I can dial that in and scale it back or scale it up depending on the season. Absolutely. But the non-negotiable is the well-being. And then, okay, how am I doing business from there? And
I want to just put stop you for 1 sec, because you're the kind of the handful of people that I've met that definitely gets a little bit turned off by this idea of lifestyle business. Mm-hmm. Because again, it's like, if you're not into a, you know, sort of like no holds bar, going to the moon kind of mentality, then you're building like a lifestyle business. Mm-hmm. And yes, it does have like these negative connotations in a way of like, oh, are you going to be like an Instagram influencer and like sell doTERRA, you know, oils or whatever, right? No, but I think it's an idea of how can I build the business, which by the way is mine and I control, to integrate with the life that I want, right? And it doesn't mean that there's any like lack of ambition or that there's sort of a lack of vision or lack of desire to scale. But I think that there's maybe like the value, or it's a little bit devalued, this idea. And that helps feed this narrative of kind of putting our well-being to the side as entrepreneurs in general. So that kind of like brings it all around.
That would be my criticism. And it's like, yeah, lifestyle business, you know, would it be great to be sitting on a yacht and traveling every month to wherever? That feels different than what I'm talking about of just the basic fundamentals of my well-being, yeah. Right? Making sure that those are in place. And you could be whatever that idea of the lifestyle business and be neglecting your well-being still. And so I do want to make sure to have those distinctions, because, you know, that's different.
Mm-hmm. Okay, listen, we got to wrap up. So I want everyone to know where they can find you.
Yes.
And where you like to hang out, because we know it's only a couple minutes a day on Twitter and once in a while on LinkedIn. So where can everyone find you and with you and learn about what you teach and get into your world?
If any of this is resonating, I offer 2 complimentary sessions. One is 20 minutes and one is 40 minutes. And so that's an hour in total of integrative advisory support, where I can help. If you never worked with me one-on-one, you would get some takeaways from that. So lilalife.co is where you can find that information. I send out inspiring weekly emails. There's the Lila Life Show podcast that sometimes there's guests. Sometimes if you enjoyed this stream of consciousness at moments, there's plenty of that. And Lila, I did not touch on, in Sanskrit means divine play. I found that word inspiring in my 55,000 hours of well-being training and experience that, divine play. Wow. Like, what if I have gifts that only I have, that if I could unlock those and share those in the world, that'd be curious. And what if I can help other people do that? That's what that means to me. And a lot of what we've talked about today, there may be little misalignments or tweaks to make sure, are you allowing your full gifts to shine? Mm-hmm. We could talk for hours, but there's different parts of the entrepreneurial journey and the company that you're building that your sweet spots can plug into. And depending on that succession plan and exit strategy, that other people's gifts may plug into in different ways. And that those are bigger conversations. But that's my wish for everyone, is to understand what those gifts are, feel connected to a purpose, and do that every day. And a lot of the distraction, the jealousy, the comparison takes care of itself. And I found myself saying, before bed, the morning's going to come quick with a lot of excitement. And that feels very, very awesome. And so I share that with you, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the morning's going to come quick.
Wow. I love that. Thank you so much. And I think like, it's just such a great reminder of this world, this businesses that we're building, the life that we build, it is for, we can build it in a joyful way. It's our choice, right? But I think it takes a minute to pay attention to it, because it's not just going to happen on its own with all your subconscious programming, right? Mm-hmm. We need to make an effort to be conscious and fully aware of what we're going after. So Linda, thank you so much. I cannot wait to see you soon again.
And I'm wishing you all so much, just sending you all the best wishes. I believe in the power of capital creation. And so be one of those billion people making $1 million+ ARR businesses. I appreciate that.
Love that. All right. Well, Linda, thank you so much.
You did it. You made it to the end of the episode. Thanks for sticking around with me and listening all the way to the end. I really appreciate you as an audience member, and I hope that you found this helpful. If you did like this episode, it would mean so, so much to me if you subscribed, if you rate and review this podcast. It helps other people know that this podcast has something worth saying. It also would be super awesome if you could take a screenshot and share on Instagram and tag me at Ugly Ventures, UGLI Ventures, VENTURES. I am always so appreciative to hear from you, and I hope to see you back here next week